Back on our podcast today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Stillwater City Councilor John Wedlake. Doc, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you. And we had a nice topic, I thought, last night for the most part at the Stillwater City Council meeting. There were a couple of just regular agenda items. But the biggie last night was what to do with the areas around the proposed 6th Avenue Corridor project. And it's not proposed. It's going to happen. But there are a lot of little integral parts surrounding 6th Avenue between Western and Perkins, and that came out last night at a very good presentation by the folks that were hired to look at that.
Yeah, so the people that we hired, Confluence, gave a really, really good overview of what this corridor could look like in the coming 10 years or so. There's a lot of parts to this. And this was a pretty big presentation last night, so I would urge anybody that's interested in the details of this project up to this point, you can find the actual presentation at stillwater.org. You can just kind of drill down under the city government part of the page, and it's listed under the agenda for the meeting last night. But the long and short of it, the kind of the 50,000-foot view is that, like you said, Bill, this area is going to change in the ensuing years. With the widening of 6th Avenue coming up as part of the ODOT project, this is going to be kind of happening in tandem with that. And the long of it is, or the short of it is that our city is going to look different in the next decade. But if you look at the presentation that we were given last night, there's a lot of exciting things that are going on in this plan, not the least of which is keeping student housing closer to campus. So one of the things that this plan kind of does is help to limit what I called last night the academic sprawl of Oklahoma State University, at least in terms of housing for students. And so that kind of helps buffer some of the surrounding single-family neighborhoods. The Westwood Overlay District, as an example, is one of the exciting things that this does. Another exciting thing that this does is this really opens up a lot of opportunity for mixed-use projects. So as it was presented last night, there are several areas, not the least of which is over by University and that little bridge kind of in between University and Duck Street opens that up for a lot of mixed-use opportunities, not only for residential, but for light commercial, things like coffee shops, beer gardens, you know, all of those things we've talked about before. But now we kind of have a quote-unquote name to it, so to speak. So that's, you know, there was a lot of stuff, and we can certainly get into more detail on this, on the different parts of this, but that's kind of a very, very brief overview of what was presented last night. But the quick and short of it is the downtown campus corridor, as it's sometimes lovingly referred to, the area between the core of our downtown in Stillwater and the campus corner and strip areas near campus, that's kind of the area we're talking about, and that's going to look a lot different.
No question, and there were some target areas. I know this, for folks who don't know the area we're talking about, I mentioned 6, but it's several blocks north and several blocks south on both sides of 6th Avenue for a better part of 2 miles. That encompasses a lot of different area in terms of what's in there now.
Right, yeah. So, you know, and I think it's important to remember before we get into specifics on this that this is, again, a vision. This is a conceptual framework of what these areas might look like as the years go by and as 6th Street is widened and we go through that project. So this is not something that's set in stone in terms of the specifics and what the different uses of the land are. But this is a conceptual framework of something that a vision that we would like to see. So there are certainly, this is not how it will look in the end, but will serve as kind of a guidepost for us moving forward as we start to go through these changes. As you mentioned, this is not just the area immediately adjacent to 6th Street, although that is included in this area. What we're really talking about is the area from if you think of 6th Street as the middle line or the dividing line from Western to Perkins, what we're really talking about is the area from 6th Street north to University Avenue and even up to Maple Avenue in parts, and then as far south as 12th Avenue. And so that's kind of the area, and certainly down to 9th. kind of the area that we're talking about is the project area.
And while the concept of what is going to be done on 6th Avenue, I think looking at the maps and the renderings I saw last night at the meeting, watching it online, that's pretty accurate. We're going to see a widening of the four lanes to a lot of turn lanes. We're going to see a lot of improvements as far as turning at different intersections and things of that nature. That's going to happen. That part of it we know is coming because ODOT has said it's going to happen. It's the surrounding stuff to that that, again, could be a factor here as far as what's done immediately, say a bike lane on a certain street or a widened sidewalk on a certain a street or a corridor area improvement to a certain area. Again, this is a concept to a point. We know about 6th Avenue. That's coming. We already know that's going to happen. It's what's going to happen around it, and that's the – and the thought process, I guess, of this last night. You could bring in five consultants, Doc, and you know this as well as I do. They're going to come up with five different pieces on this deal, okay? You're going to have five different ideas. But I don't think you're going to have too much variance per idea. It's something that could happen, again, if certain things come into play. And the other thing was there's already been some local interest in this as far as talking to the people in those areas. And for the most part, they seem to be buying into the idea of something changing.
Yeah, and you know, this I think it's important to note as well that this plan is the result of not only the consultants' work, and from what I saw last night, they're doing a great job. But this was also the result of a lot of public input.
Mm-hmm.
As it was stated last night, you know, there was a public meeting at the I believe it was at the community center where over 90 people. Attended, and there was a lot of input and back and forth from those citizens on how this project may go forward and how it may look in the end. So it's not. I think it's important to understand that this is not just the dreamscape of our consultants, but this came about from a lot of input from citizens as well. I should also note that anybody that's interested in further input, there'll be public hearings coming up at the next Planning Commission and at the City Council meeting on the 18th of December, I believe. So there'll be further opportunity for public input on this if you're at all interested in giving us your two cents. So, and I would urge you to do that because this is something that's not – this project is something that's going to affect our town for, I mean, generations or better. And so it's important that we get a good stock of what the citizens want, what they want this – areas or these areas to look like because again it's not just the decision of me or the council or the consultants or the Planning Commission. I mean we want something that the entirety of Stillwater is going to be proud of. So if you have some input in this, you're going to have some opportunity at public hearings coming up, but you're right, you know, this is the framework for this, while conceptual and certainly open to further interpretation as it relates to the area around 6th Street. We know 6th Street is happening, and we've seen we're in the engineering phases of that now. And so this is, we're looking at this as a means to kind of capitalize on those improvements that are going to go through the heart of our city, and really trying to do this in a way that is cohesive for all of these projects as a whole.
Doc, as I was sitting there watching this last night, I've been here 23 years. Some of these ideas aren't new.
Sure, and I think the mayor alluded to the fact last night that we don't want this to be another plan, C3 plan reference, where we come up with a lot of great ideas and then this plan sits on the shelf for the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Right.
And then we're 15 years down the road and we say, you know what, we had a really good plan for this 15 years ago and nothing happened. That is certainly not the position that we want to find ourselves in this particular junction. I think, again, the important thing here, the catalyst of this is the 6th Street widening and improvement project. Mm-hmm. Now that we've got the ball rolling on that, and like you said, we know that's going to happen, this is a perfect opportunity to kind of piggyback off of that and make these other improvements.
And we're talking about sidewalks and bike trails and things of that nature to allow for not only the merging of different types of traffic, shall we say, but also how to get to and from, and in some cases across 6th Avenue, to those other points.
Yeah, so probably the model of this presented last night was at the corner of Monroe and 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of lovingly referred to as the campus gateway last night, but it makes sense because that's a pretty well-known intersection and is kind of an entry point for a lot of students that go into campus. It's kind of the one of the entry points between Stillwater and the OSU property proper, I guess you could say. And so if you look at, I'm trying to find it actually in the, if you look at the presentation from last night, it's actually page 34 of that PDF where they start talking about the Monroe Gateway. And this proposed concept is just another example of some of the improvements and active modal transport that we could be looking at. Again, with the widening of 6th Street, you have some opportunity for different uses, not only on the corners of that intersection, but also how people cross that street. I mean, it's going to be a six-lane highway at that point, at least on the east side of 6th Street. And so talking about how you transport people in large numbers across areas like that, that's one of the things that this took into account.
And so it will benefit a number of people, whether you drive a vehicle or not, and down the road. And so you can look at this in terms of pedestrians. I didn't mention that, but the sidewalks kind of play into that. But again, the idea is you're not building it for now. You're building it for 20 years from now. And, right. and everything around that as far as improvements. And that's what takes in the conceptual drawings that say, hey, we could have this mixed use on this corner, or we could have this on this corner, or park space here, or maybe not even have anything on this corner. Part of that was the Monroe thing. Maybe there isn't anything directly on the northeast corner itself, but maybe just down from that, while still in part incorporating current things that are there, and then maybe reconfiguring traffic, especially between Washington and Monroe, off of 6th to the north to allow for less turns and things of that nature, and maybe traffic flows smoother in that area. I should point out that in the drawings, he left out the McDonald's that's there, okay? But if you put right. McDonald's where the proposed mixed use is, and where the building is next door that had the old Schlotzky's, I think there's a tattoo parlor and a workout place in there and a tanning salon. That isn't going to go away right away. But the point is, even if you redid that little street there, which is, if you go back far enough and look at the old maps, that's where 51 went west and Highway 40, now 177, went north through campus before it went to Perkins Road. That changes the whole dynamic of that corner, I guess, even with what's yep. there now, if that happens.
Yeah. Well, and you see on the plans, too, that the proposition, at least last night, was the closing of Jefferson Street as well,
right?
Which will greatly change the traffic flow in that area. But I mean, if you think about it and look at it, Fifth Avenue to the north is right there, and Jefferson, if you close it directly to Sixth Street and have it redirected down towards Washington, may actually make a lot of sense, especially if Washington is a one-way street going to the north. So there is a lot. There is a lot to digest in this. And Confluence, like I said, thank goodness there are people that understand traffic studies better than I do, because I'm just a stupid neurologist. I can teach you to do what I do in 5 minutes if you can understand how to decipher traffic studies.
Remind me that when I retire, Doc, and I've got another job. But anyway, go ahead.
<got it. laughs>
I might point out, too, similar renderings for Campus Corner and also for the Strip, as you mentioned. The idea of making that a one-way street is not new. But also, just to the east of Campus Corner per se, Campus Corner could become a bigger corner with some development south of the proposed convention center.
Yeah, so that's the area I kind of alluded to earlier, of what is now, or I guess would still be West Street,
mm-hmm.
Connecting University and, going up to Doug, but connecting University and Maple specifically.
Right.
So, if you look at the renderings on this, West Street would actually become more of a place that you could even block off, and having green space on both sides of West Street to the east and to the west makes a lot of sense as well, because that little street right now doesn't serve a whole lot of throughfare. It certainly is open to automobile traffic, but it's just kind of a weird street, for lack of a better term. I'm not sure I could put a better term to it now, but The proposition that was put forth last night, again, seems to make a lot of sense. Now, the thing about West Street is that you'd have to have that mixed use around there to make that work, at least how it is in the drawings here,
right?
With all the foot traffic there. But, like you said, with the convention center being in close proximity to that, I think that in the 10-year, 15-year, 20-year plan, that's something that would work fairly nicely.
Also, too, and again, some of this is going to be done probably without any new building construction in the area. The one that we just mentioned before, we talked about the area there at Campus Corner, is one example of that. Of course, at the end, the big boom comes back, and it's like, okay, how do we pay for all this?
Sure. So, yeah, at the end of the, you know, it always comes back down to money. So we pull our heads out of the clouds, and you know, this is something that's, like you said, over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, the implementation piece of this is going to be a lot of what we've tried to start getting into the pipe works now. You have funding mechanisms such as TIFs, CDBG grants, you know, certainly market forces will start to drive this, at least that's the hope. And so the implementation piece is lengthy as well, but when we generally, projects like this need some kind of catalyst, need some kind of nucleus to start the ball rolling, so to speak, and then it snowballs from there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can start to catalyze the changes on Sixth Street and utilize the private investment that will go into that, or hopefully go into that, then things like TIFs and bid districts and CDBG grants, those kinds of things tend to follow that. When you let the market and private reinvestment kind of lead the way. At least that's my view of it. And so we're hoping that with the widening and improvements along 6th Street, that really starts to get private industry interested. It has already, as a matter of fact. And along those lines, then you have things like public funding, TIFs, bids, CDBGs, public-private partnerships, et cetera, that kind of follow along the catalyst that the market forces have started to put forward.
And the other thing is, too, and I've said this before with you, if you don't compete with other people who are trying to improve their cities in the same way, you get left behind.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's not, you know, I've heard a lot of argument about, well, why don't you just let business do what business does? Well, if we are reactive and not proactive about this, business will do what business does, and that will be outside of our city limits. When you're looking at public-private partnerships, these are just becoming more and more commonplace. And if we don't do it, you rest assured there is another city out there that will. And those businesses will relocate outside of our city limits. So this is not just, let's just sit back and see what happens. That's just not the way it's done. Not anymore in any way. And so we've got to take a proactive approach to this and really start to work with these public-private partnerships to get these businesses here. Because if we don't do that, like I said, rest assured, there's another city out there that is waiting.
Yeah, somebody else will, exactly. Now, the Planning Commission meeting next week, and then not your next council meeting, but the one after that, is when there'll be public input on this some more, and then maybe a final vote on this by then.
Right. Yep. We're hoping to do that on the 18th. I think it's the 18th meeting. That'll be the next public hearing for this, at least for the council.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're right, the Planning Commission meeting next week will have a public hearing as well.
Yeah, and I'm checking the date on that as we speak. I believe it might be the 20th, but let me pull it up here real quick.
Oh, you may be right. Yeah.
I believe that's correct. Something else on this too is that as this process gets into play, well, folks, keep in mind, and that meeting is December 20th, keep in mind we have another road project on the north side of town that's beginning to start. And this other ODOT project on 6th, while utilities are being relocated and things are going on, they don't necessarily want both these going on at the same time. So you're going to have to get one of them done before the other one can start, maybe in total. But the idea is not to tie the town up in a knot while we're trying to improve it.
Right. Yeah, and of course you're talking about the Perkins Road improvements from
right.
McElroy to Lakeview, and you're right. Yeah, it would be a nightmare to have two of our biggest throughfares in the city tied up at the same time. So this
that's not the idea.
That is not the idea, correct.
So we'll see where ODOT goes on all this. But, again, utility relocation is starting for the 6th Avenue project because that's a massive undertaking to get that done. If you thought the Perkins Road one is going to take a while, this one's going to take even longer because of what is up and down. If you just drive down the road, Doc, and never look up, you may not realize what's there. And it's like, that has to be relocated. And it's like, it's for bigger minds than yours and mine to come up with that. But they already have that plan in place.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Now, I want to mention that if you want to contact Dr. Wedlake, you can do that through his email, and it's pretty simple, right?
That is correct. So my email at the city is CounselorWedlake at Stillwater.org. I'm pretty adamant about answering emails. It may take me a day or two, especially on weeks that I'm on call, but I try to get back to every one of them.
Very good. Dr. Wedlake, we appreciate the time. Have a great holiday for you and your family. We'll talk to you in the new year.
All right, Bill. Sounds great. You do the same, sir.
Thank you.
All right.